104, and we are on Kuf Gemo Mabez. Today's shiur again is sponsored Lirafush Lezecha Nishmas Chana Bas Elio. Chana Bas Elio, the neshama should have an aliyah. So we are on Kuf Gemo Mabez. We just started the sugyas of Tzara'as, Musgar, and Mukhlat, the different stages of a Mitzorah, the three types of Tzara'as, Tzara'as on a person, Tzara'as on a beged, and Tzara'as on a house. So the Gemara just mentioned a machlokes between Rav Papi in the name of Rava and Rav Papa in the name of Rava. What the halacha is by a sandal Mukhlat. If someone uses a sandal that has Tzara'as on it, so Bidi Eved is the Chalitza Ksheira or not. So that was a machlokas. The Gemara tried to bring a kasha from Meseches Nega'im, a Mishnah in the 13th Perek, relating to the fact that the Mishnah discusses bringing a something into a bias hamenuga. So if we hold that something that is mukhlat is considered burned, pulverized, kala ome listra of kasarif dami, or, not the same exact principle, but similar, kituse mechta shiure, once something has the destiny of being burned, it's considered as if it is burned already, so then how can we talk about going into a house? The house is as if it's not there. Right, there's a difference between the physical reality and halachic reality. It can be the opposites. Here, the halachic reality says we're looking at a bunch of ashes, while the physical reality is like I'm walking into a house. But halacha goes by, obviously, the halachic reality. So how could you say you're walking into a house? The Gemara has a gzeras hakasef, that it's called a house even at the time that it is being destroyed. Okay, so let's continue now with the next try. Tashma. The Tosefta in Negoim says, Matlis. So we were just speaking about Tzara'as of the house. Now we move over to Tzara'as of the Beged. Matlis, sheyesh bo shalosh al shalosh. By the way, at the end of the shiur, I mentioned yesterday, one of the three items that might not have ever taken place is a bayis hamenuga. That if you say that, and you put that together with the other chazal that Rashi quotes on Chumash, that it was a process, first Hashem gives Tzara'as to your house, and then to your clothing, and then to you, if we don't get the message of the Lashon Hara, so if you never was on a house, so how did you ever have it on a beged and on a person? Unless someone was so deep into the Lashon Hara that Hashem skipped the step. But if you hold of that chazal, difficult to put those two together, but you don't have to, right? That the two chazals could stand on their own. Okay, so the Tosefta says, Matlis, one has a little beged, sheyesh bo shalosh al shalosh. It is the minimum size required to be a kabel tumah, shalosh al shalosh, 3x3 etzba'os. Afal bi she'ein bo kezayis, even though it's very thin strings, so the volume of it is less than a kezayis, but kivan shenichnas ruba labayis tar timatahu. Right, once this tummy little matlis goes into, most of it goes into a tar house, it is metame the house. Right, that is the halacha, because it's shalosh al shalosh, even though it does not have kezayis. So which type of saras is this Tosefta talking about? My la mukhlatas, isn't this talking about a matlas that was already mukhlat, that was already decided, vadai, that it has saras, it's mukhlatas, and therefore what's the question? So Rashi says, and therefore the question is, you shouldn't say rubo kakulo. You shouldn't say that once the beged is mostly in the house, it's considered as if the whole thing is in the house, and it's 3x3, and it's matami the house. Why? Because as if it's pulverized. If it's mukhlat, according to that daya, that says the chalitza is psula b'di'eved. And therefore, Rashi says, you shouldn't go by rov. Rashi's lashon, v'ikaman demechtas damye, zil baser ma'da'ayil, v'ein b'bayis, gimel al gimel. You shouldn't go by rov, you should just go by what's in the house. And you don't have 3x3 in the house. Not all of it went in yet. The Maharsha asks, why does the Rashi ask an even more basic question? Why do you go by rov? Just say, you need a beged that goes into the house. This is as if it's burned up totally, as if it's tiny little pieces. So why doesn't just Rashi ask that? You only have a rov, but it's not good enough. You have nothing. You have nothing because the whole thing is pulverized and it's ripped up. So why is that? Why is that Rashi's formulation? So the Rebbe Elchanan and other Achronim try to answer the Maharsha's question in terms of trying to say that maybe Rashi holds like opinions that you don't even need a full-fledged beged without rips in it in order to be metame. Maybe even if you have pieces, that's good enough. And Kedusha Mechlas makes it into pieces, and that's why the problem is only the rove issue and not the item per se. And again, that's the Maharsha's question right here on the Rashi. But either way, the Gemara asks, so it should not be Tameh, because not make the house Tameh if it is Mukhlat. So the answer is, lo muskeres. You're right, it's only muskar, and that's why you don't say kiddusei mechtas. If it would be mochlat, you're right, the halacha would not apply. So, one second, hihachi ema seifa. What about the next line of this tosefta? Ha yuba kama zesim. What happens if you have a little beged that is made of very thick strings? Very thick threads. So you have a big, there's a lot of zesim. A lot of, the size is very thick. But, even if you, and that's all you have. Kiva shenichnas mimena kizayis labayis tahar timato. So then you already have the volume. You have the volume of the zesim. So that's good enough to be metame. Once one zayis goes into the house, that's enough. So again, I amrit bishlama muchletes. If you say muchletes, then I understand. Hainu de iskishlames. I understand that you compare it to a dead body, and just like a dead body creates tum in a house by just having a kezayis go in, so too this item is compared, muchlat is compared to a mace, el iamrit musgeres amayis kishla mace. But if you only say it's mitzora musgar, so then it's not like a mace, and therefore you should need the size of a beged. The 3x3 heads both, you should just go by kezayis, which is a mace concept. So, question again. So, answers the Gemara. The same thing we said by Abayas applies to a beged. Xeris akasif. Shiny hasam to amakra bisarafes a beged. Afilo bishas srefa kari beged. Right? Same xeris akasif. Even if you want to say, there's usually a rule of kutuse mechla shiure, but, and that would cause problems in other areas of halacha, like in esrog. Right, we all know the from the lulav agazel, an esrog or a lulav from an ira nidachas. Right, it's kituze mechla shiure. You can't use it as if it's not there. But here's a xeris akasif that even after it is in a state of destruction, it is still called the item. Rashi notes, what's the makar? Where do we see that a mitzvah is compared to a dead body? That's Moshe Rabbeinu and Miriam. Al na tehi kames. Right, no, my sister should not be like a mace. At that stage, what was she? That's not so clear. Because right after that it says tisager. So was she a mukhlat yet? Was she a muskar yet? And now that's the raya. Don't make her like a mace. Don't make her into a mukhlat. Or was she not even a muskar yet? Which would then prove that maybe even mitzor muskar is compared to a mace. So the Gemara is assuming that only a mitzor mukhlat is compared. Right? Rashi says vehecha de iskish dechsev al not tehi kames shemiriam musgeres have vekamer le aron lemoshe al na. Right, Aaron is saying, Moshe, don't let her go to the next step. Don't let her be. Now she's only, right, she's not there yet. But if you don't daven for her, she's going to be full. Either way, that's the makar. We learn a lot of halachos from that last section of Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron. That whole section of Mitzor, we learn a lot of Musar from there, obviously Lashon Hara. But we also learn halachos of Dayo. If you remember the Gemara in Baba Kama, Chafei, limits of a Kal V'Chomer. Various rules of a Kal V'Chomer. We learn the halachas of Mukhlat and Muskar. Either way, we answer the question, though, for the opinion that says Mukhlat is not good, b'di'evet. Says the Gemara of Eligmar Minei. So why don't you learn from it? Once you have the Xeris HaKasav by Tsaras, which tells me that even as it's being burned up and destroyed, it's still considered existing. So why don't you learn that from Chalitza too? That even if you have a chalitza of tsaras, a mitzor that has tsaras, we would still say you could use it. Isser mituma lo gamrinan. No, you don't learn isser from tuma. Rashi quotes, shehilchos tuma chidishu. Second to last skinny line. Because hilchos tuma is a chidish. That's the Rashi. That's a difficult line in Rashi, based on something we saw a couple of months ago. Rabbi Elchanan in the Kovetz Ha'aretz, it's an Os Ayin Gimel, points this out. What do you mean Chiddushu? The Gemara says Chiddushu by a number of items, not too many. Adam Zomerman is called a Chiddush. Basar B'chalav is called a Chiddush. Motzi Shemra is called a Chiddush. Why? Chiddush, as Tosfos said earlier on Dav Zayin, here in Yevamos, Chiddush means Davar HaSoser Es HaKlal. Doesn't mean that, oh, I wouldn't have known it if the Torah wouldn't have written it. Right, three quarters of the mitzvahs we wouldn't have known if the Torah wouldn't have said it. Even if the mitzvah makes sense, I would have figured it out. No. So the whole Torah is a chiddush. So chiddush doesn't mean I wouldn't have known it. It means that the halacha has a system of rules and laws, and anything that breaks those rules, that's called a chiddush. Motzi Shemra. Why is it a chiddush? Because usually you only get one punishment per action. By Motzi Shemra, you get malchus and you have to pay a fine. It says it's a v'yisroso and the v'yanshuoso me'achesef. Basa b'chalav is a chiddush. Usually you have two things that are mutter. You put them together, they don't become treif. And here you have two mutter things and you put them together. Edom Zomim, why do you trust the second Edom? The first Edom are equal. So that's Chiddush. So Rabbi Chanan asks Rashi here. What do you mean Chiddush? Hilchas Tumah is a Chiddush. Hilchas Tumah is a whole world of halacha. You're right, there are some exceptions. Right? You might say, you know, Mishkav HaZav is a Chiddush, because that's a rule breaker. Usually Tumah goes down one level, and here it goes across. Cherev HaRiyu Kachalo goes across. There are certain rules that are broken, but a little difficult. He doesn't answer the question. He just says it's unusual that Rashi quotes it's a chiddushu, and therefore you can't learn from, and you can't learn from it. Right? Elsewhere, we find similar principles. Mamona miknasa lo yafinan, isura mi mamona. What? So all those cases are chiddush. Rashi doesn't always say that. He's got to figure out why here Rashi says chiddushu by tuma. Whenever this type of principle comes up, we like to quote the Aderes Eliyahu in Parsha Shoftim, where the pasuk says there, whenever you have a machlokas, you have to bring it to a judge. And the pasuk there says, bein dam ladam, bein din ladin, bein nega lanega. Three different phrases. And the Vilna Gaon says, those three phrases are alluding to the three areas of halacha. Or, rather, there are six answers you could get to any shiloh that you ever ask. There are six answers. It's either going to be mutter usser, chayiv pater, tamei tahar. Right, one of those six. Right, every question. Right, you're allowed to, you're not allowed to. It's tamei, it's tahar, it's usser, it's mutter. Right, those are the chayiv pater. Right, you're obligated or you're not obligated, or you're exempt. So that's why the Gros says there are three areas of Torah. And yes, in general, we believe in a principle called kolatar kula, inyan echad. That's based on a lashon of a Tosefta in Sanhedrin. The old Torah is connected in some larger way, and you could compare. You could bring zera shavas from two totally different areas of halacha. You could have limudim. The Gemara in Sukkah says, how do you know you have to hold your lulav straight up? Because the Mishkan's boards were standing straight up. What does one have to do with the other? So in general, there is a concept of kol Torah kula is inyan echad, but we also believe that there are different categories, and that's the Gros comment in Aderes Eliyahu, and that's why you can't always learn from one to the other, and that's what we have here. Isser mituma lo gamrina. Okay, Amar Rava. Rava says hilchasa. So let me tell you halacha lemaisa. What's the halacha about muskar and muchlat? Says of Yosef Engel, it can't be Rava. It must be a mistake. Because we just had a machlokas about this, Rav Papa in the name of Rava, and Rav Papi in the name of Rava. So now Rava's going to tell you what the halacha is. Either it sounds Rava is after this, machlokas. So it couldn't have been Rava. So it must be a different Amora, and they made a mistake. But then he gets fascinating. Then he says, but let me suggest, I think it must have been Ravashi. Why? V'tah ha-ma'atik, v'hishmit osios shinyun. Rav Ashi, if you leave off the last two letters, it says Rava. Right? That's why he says it must have been missing those. V'nishar Amar Rava. V'gam Efshar, and also possible, Shayakasa Barashi Tevos. Amar Reish Aleph. V'hu Rashi Tevos Rav Ashi. V'tah Hamatik. V'hichnesos Beis Beina Osios. Reish Aleph. And he made Rava. V'nasa Amar Rava. And he says, Ksas Raya, the Ravashi, Balamaimar. I think it's Ravashi, because later on it says Amalei Ravina Le Ravashi. Okay. But he assumes it's not Rava, but that's our Girsa. Hilchasa. So the halacha is, and we add one new case. Echad mit sandal muskar, ve'echad sandal shemuchlat, ve'echad sandal shalavodas kochavim, lo tachlots. L'chadchila, all of these are off. L'chadchila, you shouldn't. So, v'imchalsa chalitzas k'sheira. But if you use them k'sheira, so even by a muchlat, we paskin either like the opinion that says k'sheira, or like the opinion that says whatever the svar is, k'sheira sakasa, that it's going to work. What is the case? Again, there's a lot of action on these two lines. What is the case of a sandal of avodas kochavim? What exactly is the case? And we said b'di'evet, it's okay. What does that mean, b'di'evet, it's okay? That means b'di'evet, you don't say it's as if it's burned. One second. You know what? Let's just do this in the next line to have the contrast. Shel tikroves avodas kochavim, but if it's tikroves of avodazara, something that is sacrificed to the avodazara, vishel irani dachas, or of a city that has to be burned, vishel zakein ha'asui lichvodo, or it's a sandal that's made for somebody to wear after they die, lo tachlos v'imchalta chalitzas apsula. So that would not be good. That's considered, right, either it's usher ba, right, not usher ba, no, we'll have to get to why zakim in the fifodo is not good. Well, Rashi already says, just to mention it, Rashi, that's not made to walk. And the sandal, by definition, has to be avidli hilucha, made to walk in. Right? Valav lilucha avin lav na'alhu. Okay, stop there for, let's just finish with the Mishnah. Amale, Ravina l'Ravashi. That was the Galyoni Ashaz Raya, Maishna Zakin Asui l'Chvodo. Why do we say that a shoe that's made as a shroud is not good? De lav lihilucha avid. De be dina nami lav lihilucha avid. But what about the sandal? We spoke about this yesterday. It stays in Bezdin. We know everybody, not every Bezdin, but many Bati didn't have a chalitza sandal. So nobody ever uses that. Right, so why is that good? Why is that any different than the one used for a dead body? The Gemara says, come on, it's a big difference. Amalei, ilu maski beishlucha de beidina, mikapar alei dayana. If somebody would walk in there, would they start screaming at him? Let's say the shliach abezim, if we would put it on. Do we scream at him? No. And in the Seder Chalitza, in Kuf Samach Tes and Evan Ezer, right, we read this a couple of days ago, that the Bezdin is makning it, gives it to the person, and he walks around to Alamas, Davka, for that reason. He walks around to show that it's avidli hilucha. It's a shoe. It's not just a decorative item that Bezdin holds on to. It's a shoe, and it can be used for a shoe, right? And that's why Bezdin. That's why that is done in the chalitza ceremony. Okay, a couple of important machlokos. So number one, what's the difference between a sandal of avodah zara, which works b'di'evan, and tikroves of avodah zara, which does not work b'di'evan? There are a number of categories of items that are connected to avodah zara. Number one is actual avodah zara. If you bow down to something, you worship it, you accept it as a god, that's avodah zara. There's aser b'hanan, you have to burn it, etc. And then there's tikroves avodah zara. Tikroves, that's the second part of what's spoken about in the Braisa. Tikroves, what's tikroves? You are makrevit. You are makrevit. Rashi says, second to last line, hikrivu masru lefanav l'shem doron. I bought a shoe to give to the idol. I'm going to put it in the idol's hands. That's Rashi. Fine. And that's tikroves. That's for sure tikroves. The Ramban, though, says, there's no havamina that would work, because that's not avodah hilucha. If it was never made to use as a shoe, so then, of course, it's not going to work. So the Ritva says, no, it must be that your shoe that you've had all your life, and then you decided to be makrevit avodah zara. Not that you had it made and you commissioned it. It had to be avodah hilucha originally before you gave it to the avodah zara. That is the Ritva, little machlokas on Rashi. But then you have the first case. What is sandal shel avodas kochavim, which b'di'eved, the chalitza, does work? So Rashi says this means that you donated some type of shoe to put on the avodah zara when the avodah zara moves and travels. When it travels, you're not giving it to worship, but, you know, kind of like a coat. Mishamshei avodah zara. That's the category. Things that service the avodah zara. So what's the halacha by mishamshei avodah zara? So Rashi quotes, the halacha mishamshei is, second wide line, mishamshei avodas kochavim lav l'sreifa kaimi. That doesn't have to be burned. De islu takanta bebitul. You can have bitul. You can have nullification of tashmishei avodah zara. You can't have bitul of tikroves avodah zara. But tashmishei avodah zara, you can. And therefore, it is not destined to be burned. There's a way out, and that's why lechatchila you shouldn't use it, because it's disgusting to use something like mishamshei avodah zara. But b'di'evet it would work. Then Rashi throws in though another principle. Rashi says, "I don't we paskin mitzvah mishum iser hana'a mishamshei until you're mevatel. You're not allowed to get benefit from it. So aren't you getting benefit from it? What benefit are you getting? You're using it for chalitza, and you're able to then get married to whoever you want." Rashi says, "Lav hana'hi. Why?" The mitzvos lav lehenos netnu. Mitzvos aren't defined by their hana'a, and therefore, even if I'm getting benefit, it is okay. The Ritva has an even sharper lashon here. The Ritva says, not only mitzvos lav lehenos netnu, that's a general principle, that even if I'm getting physical pleasure, it's not defined by that. The Ritva says, iser hana'a is only when you're getting a physical benefit. When you're getting a halachic benefit, that's not a violation of Isser Hana'a. Aval Hanachon, says the Ritva, Delo Chashiva Hana'a Be'isurin, Ela Kishenene Begufo. Aval Hatera Lashuk, the fact that she can now marry whoever she wants, that's not categorized as a pleasure. Uvizachiyasa Biksubasa, she's going to be able to collect her ksuba. Einze Migufa Shel Sandal, Veina Chalitza Ela Kigrama Ba'alma. Just a grama. And therefore, says the Ritva, that's why it's not a violation of mitzvos lav lehenos netnu.
He's wearing the shoe.
What? He's wearing the shoe. So he, is he wearing the shoe and he walks around Dalai Lama's? But he's not wearing it to get the benefit. He's wearing it just to show that it's Ovid Lihiluch. And therefore you can use it for chalitzas. I don't know if that's called benefit. But then the Ritva has an amazing quote of a line. And he says, and anyway, I disagree with Rashi's pshat of what Misham Shevod Azar is. Rashi says, oh, it's made to put on his foot when he travels. Says the Ritva, he says, I don't think that would be called Ovid Lihiluch. Right? To put on this statue when it travels. Don't we say in Tehillim, Ragleyem lo yahalechu? Right? Unbelievable. He says, don't we say that, you know, that their eyes, they don't see, they don't hear, they don't walk. Ragleyem lo yahalechu, lo yegev egronim. Unbelievable. Just to come in for that line. Elahacha, he says, no, what's the case of Mishamshe? Bisando, like we said, aso betchiloso lihiluch viacharkach. Right, you used it as a regular shoe at first. Okay, and then what? And he got another shot for Tekrovis also that you shechted an animal and you took the skin and made from its skin a sandal for Avodah Zarah. That's Tekrovis. Either way, so these are a couple of different important discussions relating to what is the status of the Avodah Zarah issues. The Ramban also gets into the act here. If you want to discuss, the Ramban discusses why lechadchilo can't you use it, right? That's because either, like we said, it's disgusting, or it looks like you're getting benefit, even if you're not getting benefit. One final machlokes discussed here, and that's this big long tosfos that is here. Sandal of Avodah Zarah. So lechadchilo you can't use it, but the evidence okay. Rashi is clearly talking about before bittel. You aren't mevatel yet. So Rashi says that's why it's not destined. It's not destined to be burned. And that's why, because you can be mevatel it, so that's why I bid the evidence okay. But you understand very well why lechadchila you can't use it for Rashi, because it's still a sandal of Avodah Zarah. Rabbeinu Tam, for various reasons, you look right in the middle of the next page of the Tosfos, about a little more than halfway down. Tosfos argues, Rabbeinu Tam Mefaresh, Dekulu Bavodas Kochavim, De'ovid Kochavim. Also, we're talking about a Jews of Avodah Zarah or a non-Jews of Avodah Zarah. He says we're talking about a non-Jews of Avodah Zarah. And Rabbeinu Tam says here we're talking even after Bittel. Even after Bittel, you shouldn't use a lechadchila, because it's still disgusting for its past. Right? So Rabbeinu Tam has to work harder to say why you're allowed to use a lechadchila. Rashi has to work harder to say why you're allowed to use it b'dieved. But that's the machlokas, Rashi Tosfos. What the case are we talking about here? Before Bittel or after Bittel? That is the machlokas. Okay, let's continue. Says the Mishnah. Next rules and regulations of chalitza. Chalitza belayla, chalitza sakshera. What if the chalitza was performed at night? Kshera says the Tanna Kamma. Rabbi Elazar posel. Rabbi Elazar says no. Puzzle. We'll get to what the svara is. Bismol, what about with one's left hand or left foot? We'll have to see what is being referred to here. Bismol, let's say he's talking about the foot. Let's say he's a righty and he's wearing it on his left foot. Chalitza sa psula. The chalitza is puzzle because you have to do it on the right foot. We'll see what the makar is. Rebbe Elazar machsher. Rebbe Elazar says it's kosher even on the left foot. So, says the Gemara, Lema Baka Miflagi, what is the machlokas about night or not? Demar Savar Makshinan Rivim Linagayim, Omar Savar Lo Makshinan Rivim Linagayim. What's the Havamina? We think the machlokas is about, well, Chalitza has as part of the ramifications that she's going to be able to collect her ksuba. So it's like a Dine Mamanis type of case, Rashi says. Right, first skinny line in Rashi, v'chalitza dinu dekovik subasa. So it's a dini mamonis type of case. So the question is, we know that tsaras can only be looked at by daytime. So do we compare dini mamonis to tsaras? That's the shaila. Mar savar, we compare rivim, which is dini mamonis, a riv, an argument, linigaim. You compare it to tsaras, and therefore, just like tsaras is bayom only, so too dini mamonis is bayom. Umar savar lo makshin rivim linigaim. Right, interesting shiloh. Again, Rabbi Chanan in the Kofetz Aris just leaves it as a tzorach iyan. Amazing that you would categorize chalitza as dinei mamon. It's just because one ramification is the ksuba. Right? Inherently, it's iser v'heter. Inherently, it's not dinei mamonis. It has that ramification, like we said on the bottom of the previous amud. Right? We said, tuma iser mituma lo gamrinan. Chalitza is defined as iser. So it's a big chiddush. I mean, he's not blaming Rashi. The Gemara says it. The Gemara calls it Rivim, but it's still not so clear why the Gemara would do that. Rashi says because of the Ksuba, maybe inherently, you know, there's another way to explain it. But either way, that's the first possibility.
Also, the reason we gave earlier why you needed
And the reason we gave you need three, right, is not because of dini mamonis. Right, it's a special mukar, right? Special mukar. We have machlokas, Rabbi Yehuda and the Tanakama, right? Why do you need three? So we said it's based on a special psukim here, right? It says ke'en dayanim, right? You need a ke'en dayanim. Rabbi Yehuda says chamisha, zakenim shnayim, main bezin shakol, right? A special din of how many you need. You don't just say dinim amanis b'shlosha, and you learn it from the Elohims in Parshas Mishpatim, right? You have a special mukar here, right? In a chinami. Good. So the Gemara says, is this the machlokas? Gemara says, lo. Maybe not. Maybe everybody would agree that you don't compare. De'i makshinem, because if you would compare, if you would say dinim amanis is exactly like tzara'as, afilu gemar din balayla namilo. Even the gemar din wouldn't be able to be at night. And we know that's not true. The Mishnah says in Sanhedrin, you have to have tchilas din bayom, but gemar din can be balayla. But if you compare it to tzara'as, then you should say even the Gemara din. What's the machlokas here? Mar savar chalitza ki tchilas din damya, or mar savar chalitza ki gemar din damya. The machlokas is whether chalitza is compared to tchilas din, which could be bayom, or is it compared to sof din, which could be balayla. Why would it be tchilas din? Why would it be sof din? So two ideas. Number one is a granat. The granat in Kupeches, Rav Naftali Trop, he was a Rosh Yeshiva in Radin with the Chafetz Chaim. He says why would he say Tchilas Din and Gemar Din? The context of that granat, without getting into it, is trying to explain the Ramah. There is a Machlokes Rishonim between the Rosh right here on our Gemara, the Rosh and the Rashba, whether if you had Din Balayla Bidi Eved, is it okay? Let's say you did a whole Din at night. The Gemara says you have to do Tchilas Din Bayom and Gemara Din Balayla. So, what Machlokas, the Rosh here says what you see is compared to Chalitza, so it should be no good. But the Rashbam in Baba Basra says it's good B'di'evid, and that's what the Ramah paskins. The Ramah in Choshe Mishpat, in Simen Hey, B'di'evid, if you did a whole Din at night, Kosher B'di'evid. And all the Achronim are up in arms. You know, why? Why did he pass like the Rashbam? What about the Rosh and Yevamis? What's the Svarah to say that you could have a Din at night? So the Ksos has in his suggestion. There in Simon Hay, and the Granat argues on that. So in that context, he quotes this Machlokas, Rabbi Elazar, and the Chachamim, and the Gemara says, Pligi, Tchilasin, Ogemar, Din, he's a Venera de Baha Pligi, Dine Bechalitza, Ika Kame Prate Dinim, Kodim Etzema Chalitza. There's a lot that you do even before the Chalitza itself. The putting on the shoe, and the tying, and the, right, before Beis Din does the ultimate, like a regular case, like a Gemara Din, there's a lot of preparation going on. Like we learned before, they have to be a Kovei Aduchta, so maybe that's why it would be considered Sof Din, which could be at night. Rebbe Lazar Sover, the Chalitza Atzma Din B'fnei Atzma Hu. VMK, no, you know, the taking off of the shoe, that's independent, that's separate. You don't care what led up to it. So it would be called Tchilas Din. So that's the root. That's how the Granat formulates it. But there's an unbelievable formulation, and this goes to the lumdus of what we've been talking about the last 100 days, right? In the Or Zarua, right? All the Achronim talk about this Or Zarua. Or Zarua in the Tshuvas. It's in Kuf Peches, in the first volume of the Or Zarua, where the Or Zarua says, you know why one of the opinions would say Chalitza is Sof Din? Because Hashem already started the Din by creating the Zika and the previous marriage. That was the beginning of the story. This is the end of the story. That's an unbelievable line. While the other opinion says, no, Chalitza is separate. Right? How many times have we asked? How much is this stepping into the brother's shoes? How much is this separate? It's a new Ishus. What is the Zika really doing? That's the Machlokas, says the Or Zarua. He says, Afilo mandamar Chalitza b'gemar din mode v'chulu. He says, Erbalazar desavar shu tchilas din mipnei sheyevama lashuk bilav v'hashdu demaschil lehatera. There's a new Isser. Yevama lashuk is a new Isser. She can't marry anybody from the shuk until she has chalitza done. Ulatanakama shu kigmar din. No! This Isser is a holdover. It's a hemshech. Mipnei shebechaye baila haisa b'isser misa lashuk. Meis baila paka misa v'yadayin Isser lav murkavale. The Isser lav that applies to her now is a dilution of the previous Isser that she had when she was married. But it's a dilution. It's not something new. That's the goof of the machlokas. Cholat fa paka Isser lav hilkok domi l'gemar din. Amazing. That's the Or Zarua. Again, it's on page 211 in the Or Zarua. We don't have time to go into why it's called the Or Zarua again. Maybe at the end. Okay, so that's two suggestions. What is the svara for? Why would it be tchilas din? Why it would be sof din? Okay, let's continue. Says the Gemara, Rabba Barchia kitosva'a avad uvda b'mok ubi yichidi ubalayla. He did a chalitza b'mok. Mok we had yesterday, a certain type of felt. Ubi yichidi, and he did it alone. He didn't do it with a bezdin. Ubalayla, and he did it at night. And Omar Shmuel got upset at him. Kama Rav Guvrei to Ovid ki yichida. How great are you? Sarcasm in the Talmud, right here. How great is he that he acted like a das yachid? Right, so which part of this behavior was Shmuel upset about? He did three things. So my kasha, what bothered Shmuel? Is it mok, the fact that he did it with this felt type of shoe? Stomatanya, that was an anonymous brisa that we had earlier. So you wouldn't be upset about that. E Lila, stomatanya. If it's Lila, it's also the Tanakam of our Mishnah. Right, Chalitzazak Sheir, it's Stam. It doesn't quote it as a Das Yachid. Ela Yachidi Kakashalei. So his problem is that he did it alone. Why? Hechi yavid biyachidi. How do you do it alone? Di yachidi ktani la. Because it's only a das yachid. That says you can do it alone. Ditznan, as the Mishnah says. Mishnah says on today's daf, on Amid Beis. Right. Oh, the first Mishnah in the Perek already said that you should do mitzvah chalitza b'shlosha dayanim. So what about bidyevet? That's going to be coming up. So we quote part of it. Chalitza b'shnayim, o b'shlosha. If you do chalitza with two or three v'nimsa, echad meyam karvo pasul, and then one of them gets thrown out because karvo pasul, chalitzasa psula. No good. Because you don't have the requisite number of dayanim. Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yochanan, Asan's lor machshirin. They're machshir, it's okay. Meaning they say even two, at least, is okay. Umaisa be'echad shachalas be'no leveina be'beso asurim. And then there's the story of the one who did chalitza while he was stuck in jail. Uba'maisa lefnei Rabbi Akiva ve'hechshir. And Akiva was machshir. So you see, only Rabbi Akiva. He's the das yachad that would allow chalitza even with one. So that's why Shmuel got upset. Good, and then the Bach takes out the next line. But so that's why Shmuel got upset at this person who held like the Das Yachid. V'ibayis Ema, or another day, why he got upset. Kulunami chidok tani luhu. They're all Das Yachidim. Titania Amr Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yosi Ani Raisi as Rabbi Shmuel Ben Elisha Shachalas B'moch B'chidi Balayla. So he had that svar that it wasn't, even though it's quoted anonymously in the other brises, he had the mesora that it was all only for Rabbi Yishmael ben Elisha. Tosva says there were two Rabbi Yishmael ben Elishas. Because if you do the math and the generations, these two people shouldn't have seen each other. Rabbi Yishmael ben Elisha, the famous one, one of the Asara Haruge Malchus, right, in Brachas, Pamachas, Nizdachdi, Lachter, Ketores, Lefnai, Lefnim, right, the Avram Free song, right? So so Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha is a very, very famous. So if you do the math, says Tosfos, you do the generational gaps, they shouldn't have been able to see each other, the person talking. So he says, okay, the Pirish read, the Trey Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha Havi. Not really a brisker answer, Tzvei Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha's, just the Metzias. Asi Shapir, to Oso Shenehrak, Ha Yezakeno, Shall Oso Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha, Shiro Rabbi Shmuel ben Rabbi Yosi. So the one that was killed was the grandfather of the one that was seen in this story. Right, so the two of them. De'efsha Shechayar Be'achar Rabbi Akiva. Okay, important historical Tosfos. Good. Viter. Bismol Chalitzasa V'chulu. So left foot. So we said, machlokas. So my time of the Rabbana, why did the Rabbana say that it is possible? Omar ula yafina regal regal mi mitzora. You learn it from Gzeira Shava, from mitzora. Malahalon, do you mean just like over there when the Kohen sprinkles what he has to sprinkle? The oil, the blood, he sprinkles it on the right big toe of the mitzora. Afkan, do you mean? So too, here too, the goes by the right foot. For Rabbi Elazar, lo yalav regal mi mitzora. Rebbe Elazar doesn't have that Gzeira Shava. Remember, you have to have a Gzeira Shava from your Rebbe. Right? If my Rebbe didn't give me the Mizar of Gzeira Shava, I don't have to hold of it. I'm not allowed to darsha Gzeira Shavas on my own. The Hatanya, aye, but doesn't the Brisa say Rebbe Elazar does darshan Gzeira Shavas from Mitzora? Rebbe Elazar Omer, Minayin Luritzia Shehiba Ozen Hayamanis. How do I know that for an Evan Nirtza, if he decides he wants to stay, a Haftias Adonias Ishtivas Bono, he wants to stay, so we do Ritzia in his ear. How do you know the right ear? Nemarkan Ozen, Menemar Lahalan Ozen. It says Ozen by the Ritzia, and it says Ozen by Tsaras. Mala halon yamin afkan yamin? Question mark. So you see, Rebbe Elazar does use Mitzora as a source for Gzeira Shava. So just like he learns Gzeira Shava from Mitzora to Nirtza, so why does he learn Gzeira Shava from Mitzora to Chalitza? So the answer could be that he didn't learn that from his Rebbe. Right, that's what it could be. But note for a moment, remember what we've mentioned in the past. There's a Me'iri. The Me'iri mentions it in Shavuos Lamagimel, but other Rishonim also. What does it mean? How can there be a Machlokes about Gzeira Shava if it was all passed down from the Rebbe, going all the way back? The answer is certain words were given over. But there is flexibility in terms of the Talmidim. Once they get those words, these words are meant for Gzeira Shavas. Where do you compare it to that people do have flexibility? Because after all, sometimes we have a machlokas about Gzeira Shava, and then each opinion will say, well, I think this is better because of this logic. These two are more comparable to each other. What is the Gemara talking about? What do you mean more comparable? What do you hear from your Rebbe? The answer is, from the Rebbe, all they got were the words. But they could then be flexible in terms of which context you compare it to. So that's really what's behind the Gemara's question here. You see, he's using the word regel. That's open for Gzeira Shava. So if he got that from his Rebbe, so then why does he use it for Ritzia and he doesn't use it for Chalitza? Right? So that whole idea of that Me'iri and other Rishonim helps to understand this question. Right? What do you mean? Maybe he says one and not the other. The answer is no. Once he uses that word, why doesn't he go all the way? So two answers. Amar Rabbi Yisrael Bar Yosef, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Mochevez Ashita. Okay, flip it. Rabbi Elazar really is the one that says that Smol is Pasul. Okay. Rava Amar Lola Motefach, or don't flip it. Ozen, Ozen, Mufne, Regel, Regel, O Mufne. No, it depends. This Rabbi Elazar holds that if it's only open, if it's the Gzeira Shava only open from one side, Mufne Mitzad Echad, so then if you could ask Akasha, then that ruins the Gzeira Shava. If it's open from two sides, totally extra, so that's strong. So here too, ozen, ozen, mufni, the ozen, ozen, gzeira shava, the word ozen in both contexts is extra. Regal, regal, lo mufni, but regal is only mufni from one side. And therefore, he did not learn it. V'chi lo mufni, my pircheika. So what would be the kasha that you would ask between mitzora and chalitza? Ika la mifrach, mala mitzora, shekin ton, eitz, erez, ve'ez, ovashni tolas. So a totally different type of process, an avoda that is done. So that's the pircha, and that's why he only darshins it one way. Good. So what do we paskin? So if you look in the Shulchan Aruch discusses in Kuf Samach Tes, Sif Chaf Hei, talking about what a lefty does. We'll get to it in a second. But first, let's do the Rishonim on the daf. So we have here clearly what do you do if you use your left hand? So that's going to be a problem. What about a lefty? What does a lefty do? That's not spoken about. So if you look in the Shulchan Aruch, Kuf Samach Tes Chaf Hei, Iter Biraglo. If he's an Iter, if he's a lefty, left-footed. Yeshomrim Shecholetz B'Shtehem B'Minel Shel Yamin B'Yamin U'B'Minel Smol B'Smol. The Yesh Mishen is topic Lomar. She'ein lo takana. V'nagu kusvar harishona. Where does this come from? Our daf, the Ramban, the Ritva. The Ramban here says, what does a lefty do? A lefty man. What does a lefty man do? The Ramban has all the possibilities. Tzarech la'ayin, iter b'macholetz, I b'smolo. Do you use his small, meaning his weaker foot? Shu yamin kol adam, which is you put it on his right, his small, which is yamin kol adam, ibi yamino, shu small kol adam. Meaning which one? Do you always use your stronger foot? So he would use his left foot. Or do you use his weaker foot because you go by right. Right is right. Oh, eino choletz klal. Or this is a person, tough, right? The chalitz is only done on a right foot, which is the stronger foot. And you don't have that, so you're stuck. So do you say, eino takana? He said, then he quotes, you find by tefillin, dot, dot, dot. You find by a kohen to do the avoda, dot, dot, dot. Meaning, do you compare this to other contexts of lefty discussions? So that is all the different deus in the Ramban, in the Ritva, and the Shulchan Aruch quotes both deus. Do both, or do neither, and b'di eved, you can do both. That's what the Shulchan Aruch says, if it is a lefty. The Ramban suggests, he says that, yeah, it's a long piece. He says all the possibilities. At the end, he says to do both. Whenever you talk about lefties, we also like to quote the Rav Chaim Kanievsky on Maseches Tefillin. Right, we know on the little Masechtas. He writes on all the off-the-beaten-path, he writes on everything, he knows everything. But in Hilchas Tefillin, he has what's called Kuntris Ish Iter. And he quotes 88 areas of halacha where issues of lefty-righty come up. 88 areas. And then he has 8 categories of halachos. And he puts all 88 into these 8 categories. Dvarim that are tali on stronger. Dvarim that are tali on being the right because the right is chashuv. Dvarim that are tali on being opposite the person in front of you. Dvarim that are tali on being next to your heart. Right, which is on the left side. He goes through all the different categories of halacha and where it would cut. Dvarim that are tali on going to the right because kol pino sha'atapone lo pone l'derech yamim. So, number 74. Ayin Dalid. Im ha'yavama iteres be'ezeya tachlots. What if the yavama, she's a lefty. Which hand does she take the shoe off with? So, the Wipaskini says, baser di dazlinen. Take it off with your left hand. With her left hand. Fine. The Gemara doesn't talk about that one either. What about foot? So he quotes the Shulchan Aruch and he says, Choleitz beiz pa'amim b'yamino v'yachakach b'smolo. That's what we paskin that you do both for the lefty foot, but the for her, if she's a lefty, that's all you need. Okay. So that is, again, this is an important discussion here. Weiter. So now we get to the actual ceremony. So as we know, the chalitza ceremony has, let's say, three parts. We have the removal of the shoe, the chalitza. We have the rakika. She spits on the floor in front of him. And number three, we have the kriyas apsukim, with a makri and the kriyas apsukim. So which part of that ceremony is required, and if you don't have it, it's no good. So we'll see. Chaltza v'raka gavalo kara chalitza sakshera. Everybody agrees that without kriyas apsukim, the chalitza still works. And the opposite. If you didn't take off the shoe, then for sure it does not work. Chalitza is for sure ma'akev. Kriya is for sure not ma'akev. Machlokes about the rakika. What about chalitza v'kara v'lo rakika? Rabbi Eliezer omer chalitzasa psula. Rabbi Akiva omer chalitzasa kshera. Machlokes, Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva. Omar le, Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer says, what are you talking about? Of course it has to be ma'akev. Why? Kacha yeyaseh. The pasuk says, so you shall do. So this is what you must do. Kacha yeyaseh. Kol davar. Shu maisa ma'akev. Everything that you have to do is ma'akev. So find the kriyas apsukim. That's just saying something. But everything you have to do, like spitting and removing, that's ma'akev. You get that from the word kacha yeyaseh. Amalei Rabbi Akiva, Misham Raya, no. Kacha yeyaseh la'ish. Kol davar shu maisa be'ish. No, you want a darshan b'madai from the psukim, so it's any maisa that has to do with the man, meaning removal of his shoe, but she does the spitting. So I don't think the spitting is a ma'akev, period. The Rambam, actually Rav Soloveitchik, used this Mishnah to help understand the Rambam. The Rambam says in the Shrashim, and he says in the Sefer HaMitzvahs as well, in Shorash Yud Aleph, the Rambam Paskins, rule number 11. We know the Shrashim are the rules and regulations, how to figure out what's a mitzvah and what's not a mitzvah. So if you look in rule number 11, out of 14, he says, you don't count parts of mitzvos as separate mitzvos. You don't count parts. If you have parts of a mitzvah, it's all one fat mitzvah, like dalet minim. Dalet minim. It's, you don't count lulav as a separate mitzvah and hadasim as a separate mitzvah. It's all one mitzvah. You don't count the whole process of being mitaher a mitzora as a separate mitzvah. It's all parts of one big mitzvah, right? That's the halach. And realize this. How do you know, asks the Rambam on himself, whether items are parts of one mitzvah or separate mitzvos? So the Rambam says the rule is ma'akvin zedze. If the items are ma'akev each other, meaning if you don't have part of this group, then you're not yotze, that's a clear tip-off that it's one mitzvah. So the dalet minim. If I don't have all four, I'm not yotze the mitzvah. That tips me off and says that it's one mitzvah. But if they're not ma'akev zedze, so that would reflect two mitzvos, like the Rambam says, tefillin. Tefillin shel rosh and tefillin shel yad. If I only have one of them, I put that on. Because it's a separate mitzvah, right? It's not ma'akev each other. And that's how you know that it's two separate mitzvos. And then the Rambam asks a question on himself and doesn't really answer it. He says, and what about tzitzis? The Mishnah says that tcheles and lavan are not ma'akev each other, right? If you only have one and not the other, you could still be yotze the mitzvah. The Rambam's, and therefore what? If it's not ma'akev, you should say it's two mitzvos. But the Rambam paskins is one mitzvah, tcheles and lavan. The Rambam says, yeah, it's different. That's it. So, what does that mean? So, said Rav Soloveitchik, to explain the Rambam, there are two types of Ein Ma'akvin Zedzeh. Number one, Ein Ma'akvin Zedzeh means that it's totally independent. Like tefillin. ein ma'akvin zezeh. But there's another type of ein ma'akvin zezeh, which means it's totally secondary. Not it's totally independent, but it's totally secondary. Like chalitza. Seder of Soloveitchik. Oh, the kriya, you don't need the kriya. It's not ma'akev. So you're going to tell me, oh, the kriya sapsukim is a separate mitzvah. Or you might not need the spitting, according to Rabbi Akiva. So rakika is a separate mitzvah? No. What does it mean that the rakika is a ma'akev or the kriya? It means that it's a secondary part of the process. So ein ma'akvin zedzeh means two different things. So if it's ein ma'akvin zedzeh, meaning it's an independent part, like the two tefillins, that's a reflection that it's two separate mitzvahs. But if ein ma'akvin zedzeh is the type that means it's just a secondary action, so then we would say, of course, that it is only a lechadchila, but not a bidyeved, but it's not counted as a separate mitzvah. Okay, that's a crucial thought from the Rav Soloveitchik to explain that Rambam. Okay, weiter. Says the Gemara now, hacheresh. Hacheresh and nechlatz. Hacheresh that has chalitza done, a man, vacheresh es shacholtza, vacholetz es lakatan chalitzasa, psula. Meaning if there's a cheresh, if there's a deaf mute that's involved in the chalitza, or a katan, it's no good. Ktana shechaltza, but a ktana that did chalitza, where, and she's, let's say, married, right, she has to do it to her, obviously, brother-in-law. Tachlos bishetaglo, she should do it again. Vimlo chaltza chalitza zapsula. Again. Chaltza bishne, and this is what we had before. Chaltza bishnaim o bishloshev nimsechan yankor, but paso chalitza zapsula. It's paso. Rabshim v'rabi yochan etzan l'machshir, rinu maisa v'echad shechaltz bin olovina v'beso asurim, uba maisa v'nei rabi akiva v'hichshir. 2 points. Number one is a diak and a rashi here, that the Mishnah Lamelach makes. What does it say? Chaltza b'shnayim. It says if you have two or three, and then one of them gets ruined, so therefore it is psula. Look at Rashi's lashon. Chaltza b'shnayim ksherim o begimel v'nimsa echad mehem karov. Fine, you find one of them to be a relative. Dahadar havi lehu shnayim chalitzas psula. You had three, and one was had to be a karov, but therefore now you only have two. So therefore the chalitzas psula because you have two. Ooh, says the Mishnah Lamelach. Doesn't Rashi seem to be taking a stand on what we discussed a couple of days ago? And that is, Nimsa Echad Karov Apostle, does that ruin the whole group? By witnesses, it ruins the whole group. What about by judges? Does it ruin the whole group? That was the question of the Ksos. So the Mishnah Lamelach says, look at this Rashi. Right, Rashi says, three, you lose one, it becomes two. It does. Rashi doesn't say you ruin the whole group. It just goes down to two, and then two is a problem because you need three. But he's medayik from this Rashi right here that for that question that the Ksos asked, Nimsa Echad Karov Apostle by Dayanim, Rashi holds it does not ruin the whole group. Number one. Number two, asks the Nemuki Yosef here why this is the only time in the entire Masechta that when we discuss Chalitza by a man, we call him the Nechlatz, which is the appropriate way to say it. The one who has his shoe removed. The Nechlatz. Right, usually we call him the Choletz, but we say, it means the Choletz because he's the one that he puts his shoe out and he gets it taken off. But says the Nemuki Yosef, this is the only time in the entire Masechta that we use the right term. So why is that? So says the Nemuki Yosef, umashma, sorry, let me find the lashon. So v'nira tamadover, mipnei shahayavam misayeya bechalitza. Because, you know why it usually says choletz for the man? Because he is involved, he has to put his foot, he has to have kavana, and that's why we usually say choletz. But here, by a cheresh, that's the point. He has no das. And that's why it says nechlatz. V'kabi cheresh, alav bar kavana, nikrash nechlatz. Right, the v'chein pirish arambam. V'chein pirish arambam, right, that's why he quotes the Rambam, the pirish of Mishnayos. But that's in Muki Yosef's comment here. That's why this is the only time in the entire Masechta that the man is referred to as the Nechlatz, like he should be, and not the Choletz. Usually he says Choletz because he is involved, he's Messiah, but here he's a Cherish, so it is not. Okay, Viter. Amar Rava, says Rava now, in the Gemara, Hasha da'amrit Kriya lo ma'akva, now that we said, Kriya is not ma'akev, everybody agrees to that, so lefichach, shall we say, ilem ve'ilemesh shecholzo chalitzas and ksheira, if there are mutes, the man is a mute, or the woman is a mute, they can't speak, we should say it's kosher, because the Kriya is not ma'akev, right, even without the psukim. So Gemara says, wait a minute, Tnan, Cheresh, Nechlatz, Vacharesh, Shecholza, Vacholetz, Menachad, and Chalitzas, Apsula, my Taima. So why is a deaf mute? Why are they pasul? La Mishum, de la B'nei Kriya Ninu. Isn't it because that they're not B'nei Kriya? So the Gemara says, no, Lav, Lo, Mishum, de la B'nei Deya Ninu. No, if somebody is, they're not B'nei Deya. that even if they're b'nei deya, but they can't speak, that would be okay. So Gemara says, "Ihachi ilem v'ilemes nami." So ilem v'ilemes also, aren't they in the category of lav b'nei deya? Answer: no. Amar Rava, ilem v'ilemes b'nei deya ninu. They are b'nei deya. Upumayu hu dekaiv lahu. It's their mouth that is causing them problems. Says the Ritva here, not being able to talk is not like some of the other senses, like not being able to hear. Says the Ritva, Elaim ein daito miturefes klal, kiven sheshomea. He could see what's going on. He could hear what's going on. He just can't express himself. So that's a bardas, and he has a problem. Avo kisheino shomea omed nivhau v'lo matzi lechvunei, kiven de lo shema maika amarle. It's much more, says the Ritva, debilitating illness if somebody can't hear. Or I would add, right now if somebody can't see, but if somebody can't hear. So therefore, says the Ritva, that's what the Gemara means by being mute. So that's just more of an external problem. I, says the Gemara, so that's why b'nei day is a problem and not b'nei amira. I v'ha amri d'bei Rabbi Yana, I l'vishina b'amar v'amra. Rabbi Yana says b'therish. The problem is amira. They need to be amira. That's the problem. So Ella ki itmar derava seifa itmar. Okay, you're right. So Rava's diuk was not from the first part of the Mishnah; it's from the second part of the Mishnah. Itmar aseifa itmar. Chereish nechlat acharetsa shachol tzavach oletzim nakadon chalihos a psula. Amar Rava, going on the line that says pasul hashda to amri kriya ma'akva. So you see from that line that kriya is ma'akev lefichav ilim ilem shachol tzavach chalihos a psula. Aye, what about the first part of the Mishnah? You don't need kriya. Umasisan Rabbi Zera. Dama Rabbi Zera. Rabbi Zera's din of always needing the potential, even if you don't need the actual fulfillment. Kalaroi labila. Rabbi Zera's din. We know Rashi quotes it from Menachez. If somebody promises to donate 61 esronin for a carbon mincha, then he has to bring it in 2 kalim. 60 in one kli and 1 in the other kli. Why? Because in order to dissolve it and mix it properly with the oil, so it doesn't mix well if it has 61, only up to 60. You don't even need to mix it. But you need ra'ui livlo. That's roi labila. That's where Bzeira's famous din. Kalaroi labila ain't bila makevespo, as long as you have the potential. It's not ma'akev, v'chol she'en roi labila, bila ma'akev. And if whatever is not roi labila, then bila would be ma'akev, period. Why, ask Tosfos, what's Rabbi Yanai's havamina, that he thinks the only problem is the amira? Why doesn't he say it's a das issue? Why doesn't he say it's a labar das issue? So Tosfos suggests, maybe it's a case of gadol omed al gabav. Third and fourth skinny line in Tosfos. So then it wouldn't be a problem of das. There would be das supplied by the gadol that's standing there and supplying the das. That's what Tosfos says here. And this is a big discussion in the Achronim. Reb Chaim in Hilchas Yibam discusses, why does gadol omid al gabav work by chalitza, according to Tosfos, and would not work by kiddushin? Right, if a katan tries to get married and there's a gadol omid al gabav, it doesn't work. So that's where he develops the thought that we've mentioned in the past, chalitza is different. By kiddushin and gerushin, you're the bialim. And you're the one that's creating the chalos. By chalitza, it's more of a davar de memela. We discussed, that's why you can't make a shliach for a chalitza. That's why you can't make a tznai on chalitza. It's different than kiddushin and gerushin. So this might be another nafkamina of gadol omid al gabav. Tosa says it would work here, and Reb Chaim discusses why only here and not elsewhere. Okay, we'll have to stop here by Sholchulei, and Be'ez Hashem, we will continue. Continue, Be'ez Hashem, as we continue our march through two more blots to this parak, then we get to the Mian discussions, and then we get back the last couple of prakim in Yevamis is all about Edus Isha once again. Okay, we'll stop here.